all week long we have had guests, athletes, coaches, movie stars like we did yesterday with Quentin Aaron and others. And today we bring in Matt Stover, who's a kicker and also has the athletes philanthropy.
Yeah, the Players Philanthropy Fund.
Players Philanthropy Fund.
It's a branding issue, I know.
It's a broadcast killer is what it is, Matt.
Players Philanthropy Fund.
That's a very good cause we're going to talk about as we go on as well. So thank you, and welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks, fellas. Yeah, it's a good time. Good time to be here. Love Houston. I grew up in Dallas, Texas, so I'm a Texas boy at heart, even though I still live up in Baltimore. I love my Baltimore people, though, so
I'm
it's
sure.
good.
And
I'm from
that
DC,
rock
so.
That you have right now, is that a lethal Ooh. Weapon or what?
My kids think so when I thump them on the head with it, so leave a couple intentions in it. All right, child services, please. You know, just kidding.
20 years.
Yes, sir.
The loneliest existence
sure.
on a football field, the kicker.
Here's how I equate it, though. I equate it to a sniper in the Army.
Mm.
You know, he's up there on the roof all by himself. He's not in the trenches, not getting shot at,
mm-hmm.
out of trouble most of the time, right? But aren't you grateful that you have your kicker? Aren't you grateful that you have your sniper up there on top
of that
roof?
Your Overwatch.
Yep, and that's exactly right. How I see myself. So, yes, belittled out on the field, but valued once I hit it.
No question.
The loneliness, though, when you miss a field goal.
Sure.
How do you live with that for 7 days?
Well, I started off with a miss in a 20-year career, and I ended with a miss in a 20-year career. And the last one was in the Super Bowl 44 with the Miami Dolphins, at the Miami Dolphins Stadium. When we were playing against the New Orleans Saints. How do you handle that? You know that there was a lot of makes in between. And if you can't think of that, knowing that the best, even Michael Jordan, if you're a 300, you know, hitter in the mm-hmm. Major League Baseball, there's a lot of failure in every single sport.
You have to have a short memory, right?
You have to.
Yeah.
But you know what? I want to be the guy. Give me the ball. So the biggest key and the biggest personality trait a kicker can have is, coach, give me the ball. If you don't want the ball as a kicker, don't even play.
Mm.
I found a way to get a ball on an NFL field. There was no other talent that I had, what I thought I had, maybe when I was in fourth grade, but I had to find a way to get the ball, and I found it off of my foot. And I became very proficient at it, so much, though, so that I had a tremendous amount of confidence, and that even came after misses. Because if you, like a golfer, go out there and miss a putt or a fairway, most great ones can go out there and know exactly what they did wrong, correct, and come right back and hit it down the middle or make the next putt. That's what it takes.
Well, you also have to have you have to want the ball, and I think you also have to have a good sense of humor, right? I mean, because
you got to be able to laugh at yourself.
I remember one time seeing an interview with you, and you were telling whoever, I think it was on NFL Network, and you were telling whoever was interviewing you that you know, most of the time you get mistaken for somebody in marketing.
Absolutely. I've been asked, why am I on the airplane many a times on our team trips?
Do you ever feel like you have to get on the plane wearing your jersey just so people know you're?
I'm sitting in the player section, and they're looking at me like, "What do you do? You're a player?" I go, yeah, kind of am.
I said,
kind of player.
When you watch the Super Bowl, the thoughts come back immediately that you can turn your kids and say, "Hey, Dad was there, not once but twice,"
and they were able to watch me. That was so much fun. Super Bowl 35 with the Baltimore Ravens, I had a 6- and 7-year-old watching the game. Super Bowl 44, I had all three of them, including my now 13-year-old. He was seven at the time, being able to watch the game. So for them to be able to watch their father in a Super Bowl was always just an awesome, awesome privilege.
It's three all together for you, though,
three
right?
together,
okay,
yeah.
Because the Giants in 90, right?
Giants in 90 with Whitney Houston and the wide right. I was part of that. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to bring that up.
Buffalo
there.
Bills, yeah. It hurts, yeah, it hurts.
But, you know, because of that loss, they went three more times.
And
you,
lost all.
I don't
things.
Care. Do you know how you guys know how
incredible.
Hard it is to get there?
Oh,
I mean, I played 20 years. It's incredibly hard just to get there. To do it 4 years in a row shows you that team.
Does that mess
character.
With your head though? Because your first year in the league, you made it. I mean, does that mess with your?
Well,
head?
I never won a championship in my life, and I get to the NFL and won a Super Bowl. Oh, this is great! This is 10 years later. I had to stick in the league line. I finally got back to one. But it's true. You know, you think, oh, this is no. Mm-hmm. How difficult it was, and have Phil Simms and Lawrence Taylor and Otis Anderson, Mark Bavaro, all those guys to follow their leadership and understand from Matt Barr what it takes to be a champion. I watched
the symbiotic relationship between the kicker and the holder. Please tell us what that's like, and tell us some funny stories that you might have had with a holder, down on the knee. And
God bless those guys, because it's a thankless job, to tell you the truth. But typically, in all my years, it was my punter. The reason why is I had the most practice time with a punter. If the backup quarterback was there, he was always doing practice, and it was always struggling trying to get practice with him. And when I first got in the league, my first 10 years was a position player as the snapper. So if you want to know the two most why kickers are even better today, yes, they are more bigger, stronger, faster like every other athlete. They become more knowledgeable in the sport, but also because a snapper has come a true position, right? The field surfaces, right? Remember, I kicked in Cleveland Municipal, and Belichick would somehow find ways to get that field wet. I mean, I don't know what happened. I mean, I don't know if it was him or if it was...
Sacrificed a chicken or something.
But I tell you, it was, in my mind, it was, you know, that relationship was very critical because trust. And there's one thing I never did. I never blamed one kick on a holder, ever, ever, ever. And the reason was because they did everything they could to do a great job for me. So a lot of times I would kick it absolutely horrible, but it would still go in because the hold was great. And other times he would hold it poorly, including that game against the Indianapolis Colts when we got beaten in 2006. There was a 51-yard field goal. He served me laces. He turned them around back to me, and I absolutely smoked. And this is Sam Cook, the punter at the Ravens right now. And so you just have to have trust in one another on and off the field, and you really do develop a relationship with them because of that.
Talk to us about Parcells and Belichick. I mean, Parcells, obviously, you were only with briefly.
Long enough.
Right?
When he looks at me after.
Maybe this answers my question.
Yeah, he drafted me in 1990, 329th out of 331. That was 12 rounds. That was almost last. And he looks at me and says, Stover, I hate drafting kickers. I've never drafted a kicker. And guess what? You better prove me right. And I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Here I am, a kid from Louisiana, you know, Texas. I didn't know what I was getting into. And because I didn't know Parcells' history or the team's history. Yeah. So when you look back at that relationship, he gave me an opportunity because he saw something in me. Belichick, in return, saw something in me as well. When he goes to the head coach of the Cleveland Browns in 1991, we had a thing called Plan B free agency. Mm-hmm. I wasn't one of the top 35 guys protected. I was one of the backside, so I left, you know, for brighter future. And it was also Parcells had retired. So that was the other reason.
Tell us some hoodie stories.
Hoodie stories? Well, he always wore them, and he always cut them off, and he always jogged
even
them.
Even in Cleveland?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
That's where it started.
Was it really?
Yeah, but he always wore these jackets, these plastic jackets that sweat, because he would run on the treadmill, and he would do his best to start losing weight, because he liked to eat, you know. But he was always kind of like that. His ties were just back in the 70s. His tweed jacket was terrible.
Kind of like a Ben McAdoo thing going.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah,
all those stylists from 20 years ago. It's the last time he went shopping.
His hairdo even, you know. It's just, but you know what? The mad scientist knows what he's doing, and we knew it at the time.
Too. We only have about 90 seconds left. I want to talk about the Players Philanthropy Fund. All right, there we go.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. You know, really, when you look back at my career, a lot of it was philanthropic because I knew I had a platform that I could develop and help other people. So I did that. But within regard to that, a lot of pro athletes like to start their own private foundations called a 501c3. They should not do that, most of them. If you cannot earn up to 7 figures a year and you're running your own foundation, you should not do it because all the compliance, legals, the tax issues that come with it. A donor advised fund / fiscal sponsorship is what I have called the Players Philanthropy Fund. Pro athletes, I'm helping dozens and dozens of them, running a nonprofit through my umbrella called a donor advised fund or fiscal sponsorship. They set up an account and they can operate as if they have their own, and I do all their compliance work, all their tax work, because it is in my fund that they're operating through. Events, grants, all these things can come right through their account at my fund.
So you're protecting them, essentially protecting them from people who might try to pull legal fast ones on them or whatever.
Yep.
And not,
or even a financial advisor or somebody. Most of them don't even file a tax return because they don't know they have to. Or they set up an account improperly in their name rather than in the foundation's name, and it's not compliant either with any gift that's coming into that. So we've got to make sure it's clean. That's what the Players Philanthropy Fund does. It keeps the money clean while they're doing their philanthropy.
That's a great cause, and we're so glad you swung by to talk to us about
Thanks,
it. Matt Stover,
Thanks, Barry.
NFL champion, and a very, very entertaining interview. And the Players Philanthropy Fund, a very good cause. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thanks, Dylan. See you.